and welcome to a brand new year here at the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's 2019, but my name is still James Gilmore, and joining me today to welcome the next 12 months into existence with hopefully open arms and not quiet dread, it's Rick Cowley.
Quiet dread is kind of my thing.
That's your brand.
So, unfortunately, my arms are firmly folded.
Good. Happy holidays did everybody have? If you're listening, I hope you had a cracking whatever it is that you celebrate. Rick, how was yours?
I had a great holiday. I had a great Christmas. Just very chilled. Just sat around the flat, ate loads of food, watched Muppet's Christmas Carol, as you do.
Classic.
Yeah. Just had a fantastic time. How was your Christmas break?
Bastard. Yeah, well, the first 4 days were lovely up until Christmas Eve, which is when they celebrate Christmas, because I was over in Colombia, as I mentioned before, with the family. Lovely. And then I got the most catastrophic stomach thing I've ever had in my life. And then it got so bad that the pain caused me to go blind. And then I went to hospital and I spent the rest of it there. So it sucked, man.
I didn't know you'd gone blind.
Well, I just couldn't see. Like, the whole thing where, you know, vision goes properly blurry. I've never had that before. I've never been in so much pain that, like, guys, I'm going to faint. I can't see.
God.
But it kicked into that in the wee small hours of the morning. And I was like, do I really want to go to, like, hospital over Christmas and hope my travel insurance works? Hey, kids, make sure you travel with travel insurance and medicals, because it's, a few days in hospital over there. Suddenly, it's a $2,500 bill that Jeez. You need someone else to pay for. But it's the first time I've ever got to the point where I'm like, oh, okay, hospital now. I guess this isn't going away, and I can't see or breathe. So let's go.
So a very Merry Christmas.
No, it sucked. But I highly recommend Colombian private healthcare. The hospital was incredible. Really genuinely was. Like, if I'd gone to the NHS here in the UK, it would have been great and it would have been free. But you also have, you know, private healthcare over here as well. You can go for Bupa if your company covers it or something. And that's when they go, here's your massive room with the big TV and the amazing view, and press any buttons and people are coming in every 15 minutes to make sure I'm okay and my socks are still on. Like, it was very impressive. I wish I could have enjoyed it instead of sitting there going, not eating for 2 weeks. God. So, sort of glad to be back at work, I guess. I'm still feeling rubbish and I'm still on antibiotics, but we're here and we're here to cover all the stuff that's happened in the intervening 2-3 weeks, I suppose it's been now, since the last podcast. We've got a bit of stuff from last year, including the likes of Lemmings, what I've been reviewing, and a Flight Control-esque game. We've got a bunch of new news from this year, including basically a massive roundup of all the exciting upcoming releases on mobile, on Switch, and on 3DS as well. Final Fantasies are coming to you. An Alien game! A sequel to Alien Isolation! Isn't it? Is it? It's not, is it? Oh no, everyone's going to be delighted. Plus, new releases that are actually out of this week, including the likes of Ragnarok M Eternal Love, V-Mod, Hit the Light, Lyrical Letters, Vast, and more. First, the news. Better Call Saul has been sort of flying the flag for Breaking Bad ever since the series vanished from our lives after Series 5. Series 5, was it? I think that's how long it lasted.
I think so, yeah.
Better Call Saul, incidentally, extremely good. I was a little bit like unsure about the first series, but it's really turned into its own thing. Incredible piece of television. People should watch it. But that's what everyone always says about Breaking Bad. Oh, have you not watched it? You should watch it. It puts people off, I think, when they do that.
I have not watched Breaking Bad. Not all the way through.
Oh, you watch it? You should watch it. Rick! Yeah, no, nothing puts you off more, doesn't it?
I know. I think I got to the start of season 3 and then I had other stuff to do. Yeah, I've just never gone back to it.
That's okay.
Carry on your story.
But there was a game planned for it a while back, which got news and reported and then basically never happened. Ran into some issues. However, it seems that an actual Breaking Bad game is finally going to appear. It is called Breaking Bad Criminal Elements. It's been reported in the Hollywood Reporter, and it is from a Russian studio what did Narcos Cartel Wars, which I suppose has a sort of a spiritual connection to the Breaking Bad universe, I guess. It's about drug trafficking and all that. Now, the game itself, I got to say, based on what I reckon it's going to be, not that excited.
Mm.
Because Narcos Cartel Wars is one of their management-y, to me, Clash of Clans-y numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's probably just going to be that, but with Breaking Bad. and Breaking Bad characters.
Almost certainly going to be a reskin.
Which is what Empire Business was, the previous one.
Oh, really? Was it just
Yes. Cut? So it's basically someone else saw Empire Business, saw that the game was no longer being made, and went, why don't we get the license to that instead? And are now sort of having a crack at making the same game.
Okay.
So, I'm interested to see if it actually survives. Empire Business was in soft launch for about 20 months, I think. Which is a stupidly long time.
It is.
And then they just cancelled it. And the rumours going around were that it would basically be too expensive for them to launch. Because they had pumped so much money into it that to actually launch it, they'd have to pay more money for the license to have a full game available around the world. And at that point, Scopely went, no, this wouldn't make us any money, and just cancelled the whole thing.
Oh, man. Scopely, I've been playing one of their games recently. I think the Looney Tunes game is a Scopely game.
Yes, that's Scopely as well. They're best known for Walking Dead Road to Survival, I think it's called.
Yeah.
That's the one that makes them all the money. And I think they did Yahtzee with Buddies, the With Friends series is Zynga. Yahtzee with Buddies was theirs as well. They do a bunch of stuff, but yeah.
Fair play to their animation department. That Looney Tunes game, while entirely not being my bag, because it's just one of those, you know, three against three, very, very light ARPG battler things. Very nice animations. Looks exactly like the Warner Brothers stuff. Bags of character. Very good. But bored of it after about half an hour. anyway, this Breaking Bad game, keep your eyes out for it if you're interested in the license. I am not going to be that interested, but, you know, maybe it's great. Who knows? Sticking with mobile for just a moment here. So I am currently in possession of a Rift. I got a Rift over Christmas, an Oculus Rift, not a big rend down the side of my house. And
just a huge interdimensional portal appeared in your study. And we're not sure what to do with it just yet. But
Doctor Who season 10 all over again. One of the major reasons I got it, beside I wanted to play Rift like a nerd with flight sticks, is I understood that you could mod Alien Isolation to make it VR.
Ooh.
Because it originally launched with the idea that it was going to be a VR game. They were talking about it during development. They were demoing it during the lead up and making people play it. And they were going, it's the scariest thing ever in VR. Oh my God. And then when the game came out, they went like, nah, maybe we've got other things to focus on. And I've got it. And I've got it working with the modded VR. Ooh. And yes.
Is it terrifying?
Impressive. It's quite good. When it goes all up in your face, it's very good. It's one of the most motion sickness games on VR. I'll say that.
I can imagine, yeah.
A lot of VR uses the teleportation system to avoid you just walking forward and getting car sick. Because when you play FPS games, just like a normal FPS game, your body gets very confused with the fact that you're walking forward, but you're not walking forward. And
Yeah.
So it's a little bit like that, but I'm getting the hang of it and it's very nice. I say this because Alien Isolation is, I think, a phenomenal game, one of my favourites, even though it's got loads wrong with it. I think it's incredible. And a lot of people are very, very passionate about that game now and were very excited when there was an announcement of a new Alien game coming out, Alien Blackout. And people got very hype. And then it was revealed it's a mobile game.
What?
That looks a bit like Five Nights at Freddy's.
It does. That's a really Alien. weird sort of approach to that game, I think. But also, it makes loads of sense.
It does make sense. I understand how the form fits the function on that one, because it is all about trying to avoid the alien, that game. If you played Alien Isolation, you know this. It's very much not Colonial Marines, where there are 20 billion xenomorphs flinging themselves at your face and you're just blowing them all to bits. It is very much, there is one alien, for the most part, and you need to avoid it, because if it sees you, you're basically dead. And that does fit with Five Nights at Freddy's. You're stuck in one place. You're watching lots of cameras, looking for shadows to move. And in the Freddy's case, it's little fluffy animated toys, which are actually evil robots that kind of come and kill you. And in this case, you're just watching out for a xenomorph, we assume. There's only been a little mobile teaser trailer. And you're playing as Amanda Ripley again, and you're trying to avoid the thing coming. And, as is always the tale on this podcast, when a mobile game is revealed as a mobile game and not a sequel to a nice big PC or console game, people get very, very upset and downvote everything.
It's been fun to watch. It happens every single time, and every single time it's just hilarious to see people go into full meltdown over the idea that someone would make a mobile game.
Yeah. I understand. I get the context in all cases. Like, I could just mock them all, and I do sometimes, but I get it. Like, I want an Alien Isolation sequel that's really good, and so I was like, Alien Blackout, cool! And then when they went mobile game, that is Five Nights at Freddy's, like, ah, yeah. However, that's the reaction you need to have, which is like, ah, oh well. As opposed to, what? And then flip a table and start, you know, immediately downvoting everything in mad fury. Bit of an overreaction. But Fox were very quick, who were sort of responsible for the IP, to leap out and say, now, don't worry, there are other Alien games in the works. Specifically, there is a new game that's going to be coming to consoles and PC. And I was like, okay, cool. You've got my attention, Fox. Continue. And they went, it's a massively multiplayer online game. And I was like, f*** it, Fox. That's not what I want to hear.
Massively multiplayer online shooter.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Did you play Aliens Colonial Marines? I don't want this. I want to be chased by one xenomorph who is a prick. I want to be completely underpowered. I want to basically play as Newt in the sequel. That's what they should do. They should do Aliens for the sequel. Mm. And then you're on a colony, like on a planet. So rather than being on the ship, because the first Alien game, Alien Isolation, is basically recreating the Nostromo, effectively. Mm. And you're wandering around it. The Vestapol, it's called in this one, but it's basically the Nostromo again in the first movie. So the second one should be you're stuck on the colony, on the ground, everyone's been munched. Maybe there are more aliens. I will accept more aliens. But ultimately, you are very underpowered. You're crawling through vents. You're terrified and running away. Whereas multiplayer online shooter, where people are all like fragging each other and dropping emojis in the chat, that's not Alien. That's not going to be very atmospheric, is it? So, oh well. But I'm still, everyone, we can just go back and play Alien Isolation and not get very cross, because it's a waste of energy. However, Alien Blackout will be coming to a mobile device near you on January 24th. And it's premium.
Yeah.
$4.99. Holy cow.
It might actually be good. This is the thing that a lot of people seem to be ignoring. This might actually be a decent game. Because it's a premium game, which isn't a mark of quality by any stretch, but does mean that they are not going to try and force IAPs down you.
True.
It's building on... If it is like Five Nights at Freddy's, then it's building on an established genre which works well on mobile. As far as I know, I've never played Five Nights at Freddy's. It terrifies me.
I've played like 4 of them. They do work.
Yeah. So it'll work on the platform, and it sounds like it has a couple more ideas to go along with it. It won't just be the same formula as other games. Graphically, based on the screenshots and teaser trailers, it looks like it'll be good, but we don't know if that's in-game footage yet, so that could be entirely wrong. Mm-hmm. And D3 aren't exactly a crummy little developer. There's a decent publisher and developer behind it. At the very least. So I think it could actually be a good game. I think a lot of people immediately wrote it off because it's like, oh, it's just a mobile game kind of thing. But it could actually, on its own merits, be a decent game.
I don't understand this positive chat about mobile games, Rick. You corporate shill.
On the Pocket
Gamer
podcast.
I'm downvoting your face right now, Rick. So yeah, we'll let you know how that one goes, and we'll get a video up as soon as it's ready and reviews and all that business. Now let's jump over to the Nintendo camp for just a moment. Let's stay mobile and portable. Dragon's Dogma: Dark Arisen is coming onto the Switch, which is exciting for like a subsection of people, I think. And you and I have never actually played Dragon's Dogma because it came out amongst a bunch of, you know, Dragon Age was coming and Mass Effect, and it was all around the end of the sequels, I think, around the Mass Effect 3 time, somewhere around that, I think. And it's kind of flopped, but then it didn't. It then picked up afterwards because it was an unusual game where you've got a Eastern developer doing a Western-style RPG, and they had a lot of interesting systems in it where you would bring in other players' characters, other people's characters to kind of help you out, which is something that's very common in mobile games now. Mm. When you're playing Puzzle Quest, you kind of bring a pal along or something like that for extra perks. But you could actually bring in other people and they would become like your, not your familiars, but your like little helper dudes.
They were your pawns is the official name.
Pawns, oh, there you go. And it kind of gained this cult following of people going, actually, this game is very obtuse and weird, but really, really good and deep and rich. Which makes it sort of interesting. They did a re-release on it in 2014 for primary consoles, and now it's coming on over to Switch, and I can see people getting quite excited for this. As someone who's never played it, but someone who has a Switch, are you tempted?
Yes, absolutely. I think I already own it on a different console, and I've just never got around to playing it because it's, you know, 60-hour RPG. But it looks... I had to do a bit of digging to find out why everyone loves it so much when I was writing that story, and it's like... It actually does look really interesting. Like, the combat... The interesting thing is, like, you can scale enemies. So it's like... I think it's an action RPG, and you can, like, jump on top of bigger enemies and deal damage to their weak points on their heads and stuff like that. So it's not just hacking away at their shins, which is something the developers wanted to avoid. Okay. And it just looks really weird and interesting and incredibly Japanese, but as you say, like, trying to do a sort of Western vibe kind of thing. And like, loads of people I've seen rant and rave about how amazing it is. So I'm interested in giving it a shot, especially on Switch, where I can just sort of walk away from it whenever I want, rather than having to, you know, find a save point, go through all that sort of stuff.
And I think RPGs particularly are quite good with portable stuff because you need the investment of time in RPGs, whereas the Zelda being a classic example, I understand people just pick it up and run over to another area when they have the time, just travel in the world when they've got 10 minutes and then you just put it back again.
Yeah.
Rather than going, I need to sit down for 5 hours and, you know, really hit this. And when you set that goal for yourself, like, I need to block out 2-3 hours to really get into this, you kind of don't end up doing it. Because you're like, well, I don't have 2-3 hours tonight, so maybe I'll do it tomorrow night, and so on. And then it keeps slipping and you never finish. Whereas when it's just there, you can be like, oh, well, 10 minutes now, doesn't matter, turn it off, put it to sleep, on we go. And you can get it done. So this is going to be hitting April the 23rd on the eShop. And we're estimating, or at least you're estimating, probably around £20, $20 maybe.
That's what it sells for on PS4 and Xbox One. So I would imagine it'll probably come in around that price range. Some people are saying it'll be full price. I don't think it will be. I definitely think it'll be below full price. It might be $25-30 because it's Switch and they like to push prices up.
They do bump it up on Switch.
Yeah, but so, I wouldn't expect it to be £40, £50, whatever.
Okay. All right then. Well, keep your eyes peeled for that. Dragon's Dogma coming to your Switch. And also, Switchy news, Yoshi's Crafted World, which is going to be hitting on March 29th, which is the new Yoshi's game following on from whatever the last one was. What was the last one that you did? Yoshi's Island 2?
I think Woolly World was the Wii U
Woolly World.
One. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it's another fluffy one. So, Crafted World's coming on from that. This is notable because Nintendo hasn't shouted about it much. And
yeah.
I think people are a little bit like, is this bad news?
I'm a bit concerned because obviously with the bigger games that Nintendo have done, like Smash Bros. Got its own 30-minute long presentation direct thing. Every other major game has been announced in the directs. This has been kind of like, oh yeah, we're still working on the Yoshi game in some directs, and then I don't think it got even mentioned at E3 because they just had to delay it into 2019. It didn't get a name until October last year, I think.
Right.
And then finally showed a trailer and a thing. And then this release date just dropped as a press release in my inbox. And I was like, oh, so we're not going to make a big fanfare about it. In fact, it wasn't even its own, like, press release. It was tied in with the re-release of Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn on 3DS, which we'll come on to in a second.
Yes,
I'm sure.
Which is the other game that they have announced. So the Kirby one is just a re-release of Epic Yarn, which was on the Wii U.
I think it was on the original Wii.
Original Wii. Okay, yeah. There you go. So yeah, those are the two kind of fluffy, crafty ones they're doing.
But they got announced at the same time, and that's kind of like, what does that mean for Yoshi? It's been piled in with this re-release the re-release had two paragraphs on it in the press release. Yoshi's Crafted World had one. And it's everything surrounding their PR around it is really weird and just kind of like they're trying to shove it out as quietly as possible and hope people will just kind of ignore it and move on with their lives. So I don't think Nintendo have a lot of faith in it, but it does look good.
It does look nice. I'm watching the trailer and, you know, what can you tell from the trailer? But it's got that Nintendo charm and it's all colourful and he's all fluffy and cute and I want to boop his little nose. So yeah, it looks good as you'd expect. I don't know. Maybe this is a Doom scenario, Doom 2016, where people keep quiet and people keeping everyone away from it and they're just dropping it stealthily because they know it's going to be immense and they're not worried. That's the positive shine to look on it.
Okay.
But maybe it is they're just sneaking out the door because perhaps they're not as confident in it as they could be. Either way, March 29th is the date for that. Go and check out the trailer that we've got embedded into the site. And also check out the Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn, because that's its full title. We're going to get the 3DS release on that on March the 9th. And it is the original Wii game and a couple of extra things as well. So there's apparently a devilish mode, super hard, that they've added, and new mini games which you can play with old Kirby and all that business. But again, trailers are all available on PG. Go check it out if you fancy a look. Out and about this week, and also the tail end of 2018, because we did our big Games of the Year episode. That was the last thing we dropped before Christmas. Do go and have a listen to that. And we didn't really cover any of the new releases. And there were a few that came out just at the tail end of last year before I buggered off out of the country. One of which was Lemmings, which is a big deal for me because I was an Amiga kid, as people might know. And if you were an Amiga kid, you were a Lemmings kid. That's how that works. You bought an Amiga and you inevitably got Lemmings with it, or you acquired it somehow. I'm not sure how big the franchise is for the kids nowadays. Like, I don't know if you say Lemmings where everybody knows it, or whether it's just people who are like late 20s, early 30s that know this sort of stuff. But either way, did you play Lemmings, Rick?
I played Lemmings on PS1.
PS1,
various forms.
PS1, Lemmings. See, they put it on the Mega Drive. That was the first time I tried to play Lemmings with a controller. And I was like, screw this. Because this is a point-and-click game, if ever there was one. So yes. You probably know what it is, but if you don't, loads of little lemmings come out of a door or a trap door, usually at the top of the screen, and you have to guide them to an exit. There are lots of obstacles in the way. It's an entirely flat 2D plane, and the lemmings themselves can be told to do things. They can build, they can smash through walls, they can create little ladders, they can pull out umbrellas and float down if there's a very strong drop, and if you don't do that, they will go on the ground and die. In the original game, you had usually about like maybe 12 tasks you could make them do. You can make them block, you can make them explode, and you know, dig down specifically and all that. In this new game, they've really streamlined it because it's mobile-centric. It's a single screen that you play in portrait mode. And the idea is, instead of tapping on the individual lemmings and saying, you do this, you do this, you do this, which is what you did in the original, you tap on the blocks. The level is very sort of faintly gridded. So you tap on a grid and say, when a lemming walks into this grid bit, this is what I want them to do. And you can usually tell them to dig or to build or to smash or block. There are far fewer controls and they're all context-sensitive. So it'll only tell you what you can do on that specific block that you click on. Now, it's all right. I'm not like bowled away by it. It's free to play, and the energy system works by whenever you tell a lemming to do something, that uses up a bit of energy. So it's one of these things where if you do too much in a level, like if you really mess up a level and you, instead of just digging through one hole in the floor and building one bridge and that gets you to the exit, you completely miss that shortcut and you try and build 25 bridges and dig 40 holes, you'll just run out of energy in a level.
Okay.
So it's an energy system that punishes you if you suck.
Oh, that's the worst. Oh, that hurts to hear.
I'm being called out. Yeah, so I'm not cool with that. I think that's good. The interaction system actually works quite well, and it being stripped down and streamlined for mobile makes complete sense, and tapping on the grids, it does work. But I think you lose a lot of the charm from the little lemmings themselves. I don't think they have as much character. You lose all the classic music, which I'm obviously a stickler for, but you know, I grew up with this stuff. And what's the word I'm looking for? It's the word when you don't have enough blood.
Anemic,
there you go. It's quite an anemic version of the game. And I'm not cool with the energy system. But it's out there. And if you want a little hit of nostalgia, maybe play it. If not, just go and find an emulator or something and play the original, because it's really, really good. What else was out there? Oh, yeah, before we left, there was a game which was basically Flight Control, but not. It's called Fly This! Which I say because this is in block capitals with an exclamation point after it. I hate intercaps. So Some of you, talking about old games, if you were around for the very beginning of the App Store, we're talking like 9 years ago, 10 years ago, then you might remember Flight Control, which was one of the original line-drawing classic-y games. Did you get your hands on this when it first came out?
Not when it first came out.
Okay,
I have played Flight Control. I think I played it on PC, which not the ideal way to play a line-drawing game, but
no, I suppose
still a lot of fun.
It was very, very good, and it's just a very simple game where you got aircraft flying around, and you got different airports on the ground, and the idea is you have to bring them into land. In the original game, you're bringing like lots of airports into land at the same airport, and the idea is to make sure they don't collide, and you're basically doing, you know, navigation, and it was really good, and it worked beautifully, and it was the early days of the touchscreen, so people were like, wow, I could put my finger on the screen and draw a little line, and the plane does the line. It's really clever. Now we're a little bit more like, yeah, of course, whatever. And this new version, and it's not a version of the game, it's inspired by the game, it's from completely different developers, takes a slightly different tack, which is there are several different airports and different coloured airports at that, and the planes are different colours, and they pick up passengers, and then whatever colour the passengers are, they need to be dropped off. If they're blue passengers, you need to find the blue airport and drop them off there. And so you're managing numerous planes all going around and all going into different airports and all crossing over one another, and then things like thunder clouds come in, and suddenly you've got strong winds which only allow you to go one direction. And I actually quite liked it. It made me think fondly of the original games. I mean, there's a lot of variety and stuff going on. I think Harry was like a sort of 6, 7 out of 10 on it. I think I liked it slightly more. But I think it's worth a look, especially if you like the older games there. Fly This is the name of that one. Moving on to this week, because we don't want to dwell on last year too much. So, best new releases of this week. What have we got going on here? There's a very, very big one which neither of us have played because we've only just got it on the account. Vast Pocket Edition. Haven't played the original game. It's a first-person shooter where you're playing cyborgs and running around and blasting everybody up. I think it's multiplayer. It is a $20 game on mobile, and it's currently on sale for $14.99 to celebrate the launch. We are about to play it. I've got it on the account now, so we'll have to get back to you on that one, but check the site out. That's for stuff we have played. So you and I have played some of the little puzzly games, and I've played the big MMO. So let's talk about VMod.
VMod. It's about pushing buttons.
It is. It's about pushing your buttons. And this is one of those little tricksy puzzling games where the idea is you have to pre-plan which buttons you're going to push, because very first screen of the game, there's just a button on the screen. No explanation. You tap it because you like that. You know you like tapping things. So you tap it and it goes bleep and changes color, and that's your level. So you're like, cool. And then the next level, you've got two buttons, but they're connected by a line. And you think, oh, I'll press both buttons. But you press one button, and both buttons change color because the line is connecting them. So one press affects the other. You're like, oh, okay, cool, nice. Then you've got three buttons, and they're like in a triangle or something, and you press one button, and again, both lines fire off, and it activates the other two buttons because they're all connected. You're like, cool, this is easy. Next level, their buttons are arranged in a slightly weird shape. And you press one of the buttons, and obviously it's connected by two lines to two other buttons, and they go bloop, bloop. But then it doesn't carry on the chain. It doesn't then bounce from the second button to the third, to the fourth, to the fifth. It only affects the two immediate ones that are connected by a line to the one that you press. So you go, I've got to press one of the other buttons over here to activate the rest of them. But if you press one of the buttons that's connected to one of the buttons you've already changed color, it changes back to the other color. And you're like, oh no, it's like whack-a-mole. Well, you press one thing, the other one pops up, and then the other one pops down. And you're like, oh, no, I want them all to be down, though. And so you press that one down, and the other one pops up. You're like, oh. And that's... Am I explaining this right? That's kind of the
vibe.
That's
basically it, yeah.
Yeah. And it just gets more and more and more complex, and you end up with these vast webs of buttons connected by lines, and it's about working out exactly which order you need to press these buttons to make sure that they all change colour. Very nice, very simple. I wasn't like electrified with excitement by it.
I wasn't blown away. I think it's a nice little minimalist puzzler type thing. It's sometimes some of the solutions you can get to just simply by like prodding at things until it all works. So
the button mash.
Yeah, it's a bit of a button masher at times, but then again, you know, it feels satisfying when you get it in the right order and it all just sort of clicks together and you go, "Ooh, yeah, that actually felt right." Then other times it feels a bit unfulfilling because you're just hitting random buttons until things work.
Quite.
But no, I think it's quite nice.
very neat, very simple. And yeah, if you like those minimal puzzlers, then perhaps you'll be into it. So VMod, all one word, is the name of that one. I'll do another one of the little games before we get to the biggie. Lyrical Letters appeared. This worked a bit more for me, but then it sort of catered to me. So you're presented with an old-fashioned looking child's keyboard, like a Fisher-Price keyboard. And I say that as a musical keyboard. So it's got two octaves at the bottom there, and each of the notes, musical notes, are written at the top of the key, and they've all got different colours. This is a spelling game, which is perhaps not what you're expecting. So the idea is that it will play a couple of notes to you. Say, for example, the first level, you press puzzle, go, and it plays two notes, like do, do. It's your job to work out what word those two notes are spelling. And you have to do that by identifying by ear which notes sound right. So you need to go, duh, duh. So you go all the way down the keyboard going, do, 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 do. And you identify, aha. And then you delete the letters because they appear at the top of the screen as you type. And then you, once you've got it right, you know what two letters you're pressing. You can go, do, do, and it'll put the two letters up on the screen. And then you hit submit. And then it'll tell you if you're right or wrong. And then as the game goes on, you get more letters that spell much bigger words, and you have to remember these musical sequences as you go through and play them back. I quite like this. I play music, and I play music by ear. I've always learned by ear. So this kind of goes into my wheelhouse, which is just note identification. And turning it, gamifying it, is actually quite fun and quite sweet. I've only played about like 5-6 levels of it, so it only got so complex. I don't know if it gets weirder later on.
I have no idea. I played less than you.
Oh, okay. Fine,
but again, I also enjoyed it. I thought it was very... It's a very cute, well-presented game. Could be useful for like learning what notes sound like and that kind of thing if you're completely tone-deaf. Mm. The only problem I had was with the ads. And I don't mind ad-supported games. I think they're fine, and I totally get why they do, why people make them. But I was moving on to a puzzle, and then as the puzzle was sort of playing the notes, the ad popped up and started playing over that, so I couldn't hear what the notes were, and then I was stuck in a 30-second ad that I couldn't quit out of. I was like, ah, this is frustrating. Right. So I think a bit of tweaking on like the timings of that and freezing the game at the right point would help, but I think the actual game itself is really lovely and definitely worth checking out.
May have deactivated my Wi-Fi while playing another game because it kept popping up while I was recording video for it, and that's really off-putting. So I didn't get any of that at that point. But I'm not advising that, of course. Ha! Lyrical Letters is the name of that one. Maybe have a look at it. Now there is a big, fairly big anyway, mobile release that I'm going to talk about in a second. But first, let's jump over to the Nintendo camp because you want to talk a bit Mario.
Yes.
What's going on?
New Super Mario Bros. U, which was a Wii U game, has been re-released on Switch as New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, which, following in the footsteps of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and all that sort of stuff, they're just, it's Nintendo's current thing, is they had a load of really great games on the Wii U, but no one had a Wii U, so now they're just porting them onto Switch instead.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because a lot of really good games are on there. And in this case, it is one of the classic 2D Mario games. You are getting, in the package, New Super Mario Bros. U and New Super Luigi U, which was their weird add-on bit of content for the Year of Luigi, which was the year that cost Nintendo like $300 million because it was a complete waste of time and everyone hates Luigi.
Yikes.
And so they've added two new characters to this version. So you can play as Toadette instead of Blue Toad, although it has been revealed today that you can actually play as Blue Toad if you want to. I don't know what the difference is. I don't think it actually matters, but people were very sad about Blue Toad for some reason. But yeah, you can play as Peachette. Peachette is considered an easy character because she can pick up a super crown and become... No, you can play as Toadette and she becomes Peachette. Jesus Christ. There's too many names to remember.
Does it sound like Smash Bros now?
And then Peachette can do an extra double jump in the air or something, and she floats down and basically has just a load of extra powers. She's really fun to play as. I completed the whole game as her. It completely changes how you can approach puzzles and stuff. It does make games the thing easier, but at the same time, these games are really, really hard. 2D Mario games have always been really tough, and these New Super Mario Bros. U is really, really hard at times, and like frustratingly so. So having Toadette there as sort of an easy character is really useful. And there is a second character called Nabbit, who is just a little rabbit with a swag bag that can run through levels, doesn't take damage from enemies, and can just like bolt through. So that's if you're playing with like young kids or someone who sucks at games, you can just say, "You play as Nabbit, then you won't die, and we're all okay."
That's the easy mode, which I actually I respect. Like I know people get very excited about making things easier or making things more accessible for people.
Mm.
If that comes at the expense of the core game, I can understand.
Yeah.
But when it's this optional extra thing that people are saying, like, 'cause I remember one of the Nintendo games was like, there's basically a mode where you can watch the gameplay itself.
I forget which one it was. This is this one as well. If you die enough times, you can watch how it's done. You can watch like a video of a pro player showing you how to do the route kind of thing, and it'll just complete the level for you.
And people are like furious about that. And it's like, why are you cross about something that if you got your hardcore gamer badge on, and that's something that you wear because you suck, then you never have to do that. You never have to see it. Like, I don't understand why it takes away nothing from you.
Mm.
Like, if you want to play on super hard difficulty and never do anything like that, do it and then complete it and be really pleased. Like, great. But the idea is you're allowing people who maybe this is their first video game, perhaps.
Mm.
You know, it might be the first time I've ever played anything, and this might be a way to welcome them in, and then eventually they'll get it and they'll understand and they won't want to use it anymore. But it's a nice thing to bring people in who otherwise wouldn't, and I don't understand why you would get cross. So that sounds nice.
Yeah, because look at the actual like level design doesn't change at all depending on which character you're using, and the levels are hard to navigate, especially if you're taking damage from enemies. So if you can knock away one of the problems, then you're still, you know, learning to be good at platforming, but you're just making it a little bit easier for yourself. It's Nintendo, so it's always going to be well-polished and well-made and stuff. I was a little bit just kind of meh about it, because it's a 2D Mario, and I've never really enjoyed 2D Mario games. I think, I know that's probably sacrilege, but like, because they're so tightly locked into trying to keep the formula of the original 2D Marios and stuff. So they're always kind of more of the same, and I prefer the 3D Marios because they try and experiment more and throw more new things at you. Whereas this feels, if you've played a new Super Mario Bros. Game on DS or 3DS or the Wii U one, you will probably have played this as well. But if you're a really hardcore Mario fan and you really love difficult games, this is definitely worth a shot. It's one of the best platformers on Switch by far, so yeah.
All right, then. We can go and grab that one. Also, Super Mario World is amazing. 2D Mario game's great. I forgot to mention that Final Fantasy X is also coming out in, I think, April?
Yes.
On the Switch. April 16th. That's the other Switch thing that's turning up. The really good Final Fantasy game that I think everyone now realizes is one of the best, despite the fact that everyone laughed at all the silly belts that Lulu was wearing, which I understand. She's got far too many belts. It's silly. But come on, guys. Let her do her. It's really good. Okay, let's hop back to mobile for a moment and talk about a very big RPG coming onto iOS in mobile form for the first time in a while. So Ragnarok M is back on mobile. So it's been in existence on mobile in different forms over the years. It originally started as Ragnarok Online back in 2003. It's a Korean RPG. They got loads and loads, millions of players online, and it continues to be big and great. And we've had a couple of different installments, and now we're back with Ragnarok M Eternal Love, which I wasn't able to download from the UK because it's still not out yet. It's supposed to be out now. You can pre-order it on Android, and I couldn't do either, so I got bored and I downloaded it from the Philippines instead and played that version. It's all English language, so it doesn't matter. And it's very slickly done, actually. I'm sort of impressed by the presentation, by the way that they've crammed it all onto mobile in a way that isn't completely confusing. Because mobile's notorious for, when you smush something down onto the screen, it can be a bit fiddly. and MMOs particularly, because they're so GUI heavy. There is so much text, there are so many menus, and it's all covering the screen, and every character's got loads of text and numbers above their head, and it just becomes this completely indecipherable mess a lot of the time. This game avoids that. It's got a very cartoony, cel-shaded style. It's fully 3D, but it's got the big, thick outlines. The text is, well, still present, clear and easy to read. The map is quite easy to navigate. You can use it with a virtual stick, or you can tap on the screen, or you can open the map up and tap on the map and say, I want to go all the way over here, and then just close it, and your character will pathfind their way there, which is a very good concession for mobile, I think. The universe itself is slightly weird and different. Like, they've got things that do look like the classic Dragon Quest blobs, the names of which escape me right now.
Slimes.
Slimes, that's them. But the main enemy at the beginning is these gigantic, incredibly cute-looking fluffy rabbits.
Ooh.
Which are apparently, like, rabid and insane. But they look cute and lovely, and then you just hack them to bits.
Aww.
Like,
yeah.
All right, man. But I did a bit of training on it, and then I did a few quests, and then I spoke to a person who wanted to hook up with his wife, and then I had to go and collect a color-changing leaf, and then I got taken into a fantasy land where suddenly the camera angle changed from the kind of top-down-ish view to a much more side-on. And it was really beautiful, like this incredible valley and the trees and the thing and the color and the blossoms and that. And there was a creepy old man in there, and I had to go and get a potion to make him fall asleep, which I did, and then the man proposed to his girlfriend, now fiancé, they're very happy, under the tree.
And what are you talking about?
Look, all right, this is a slightly unusual flavour of Eastern RPG, I will give you that. I liked it more than I was expecting to. I've only spent like about 3 hours with it, and that's nothing in an MMO, as we all know. But it did open up into several different areas, and then I went into this kind of city place, and they give you this big sweeping camera swoop over the whole city. And it's very impressive. Like, it runs really well on a comparatively old device. I always try it with the iPhone 6S, the lowest device I've got, just to see if it runs. It runs really well. I recorded the video with it. I was like, this is quite good. It's still an MMO. It's still going to be grinding loads of stuff. You're still going to be asked to collect X number of things and then go back to the man with the quest and say, I've got them. And he goes, cool. And gives you XP. That is what it is. But this eternal love angle, they seem to be putting some weird story stuff quests into it. That's quite unusual. So I don't know when it's going to go live. Might be now, but it might still not be up yet. Who knows? But I understand it's got a very big following, so this might be a big thing when it hits over here. So Ragnarok M, Eternal Love is the name of that one. There are a couple of other things. Hit the Light is the one that I haven't played. It's a portrait game, and it's kind of, not Pong, but you're firing out lots of little balls at what looks like a neon light fixture that's attached to a wall. So the idea is it's kind of ball breaker, but instead of breaking balls, you are smashing a light fixture to bits. Which is cathartic, by the look of the trailer. Nice presentation, haven't played it, who knows if it's any good. And Donkey Pung. Did you play this one?
I have. Donkey Pung's actually really good.
The first respawn, I was like, oh no, I can't be arsed with this. But then I played it for about 15 minutes longer. It's all right.
Yeah, it's one of the... So it's like... it's kind of like Flappy Bird. You tap the screen, your little ball jumps up. But it's going between the walls and you have to bounce off the thing. And then there's falling saw blades, and then there's spikes that start sticking out of the walls and this kind of stuff. And if you get close to them but don't die, you get a bonus death hug score.
Death hug, yes.
And if you do hit it, you just get this massive thing that just says death. Oh, okay. The App Store description says this isn't a casual game, and you kind of go, oh, but it looks like one. And then you play it, and you actually really need to concentrate the entire time you're playing. Even though you're just tapping, you have to pay so much attention to what's going on, because any sort of minor scrape will kill you, and you've got to pick up these dots as you're traveling as well. And it's just, it's really cleanly presented, it's really simple to play, it's fun to sort of see how close you can get to death without dying, I suppose. I really like it. I think it's a really clever game. I think we got old Cameron to review it as well. And he gave it an 8 out of 10, which is a pretty good score.
Premium, too. It's $2.99 or £2.99. So, yeah, their whole this is not casual thing, they are backing that up with a premium price. And, yes, if I'd bought it for £3 and I turned it on, I'd be like, oh, what? But I was like, no, I've got to do my due diligence, and did get into it, as you say. Very, very focused I was to try and avoid these spikes and things flying out the walls and that. I don't know how much longevity, but yeah, my first impression was a bit too rash. There is something here. It is interesting. The name is Donkey Pung, all one word with U's, and you can find that on iOS only at the moment, I believe. That'll do. First show.
No.
Oh, what?
I want to talk about JCB Pioneer Mars.
Oh, my God. All right. Okay. So, I haven't played this, but I did open up a trailer. Hit me, Rick. JCB what? Pioneer?
JCB Pioneer, colon, okay. Mars. So.
Don't talk about colons around me.
I will just give you sort of the opening kind of hour condensed into a few sentences. You crash land on Mars. Everything's terrible. It's like, oh, no, my shuttle's broken and stuff. You're running around on the surface of the red planet. You're like, ah, there's this dust storm coming in. My oxygen's running low. My health's a bit low. I'm probably going to die. And then in the distance, through the dust cloud, you see a giant JCB truck thing with like all yellow and black with the big logo on it and everything. And you go charging into your JCB truck. The voice in your head starts going, oh, you need to go find the habitation unit. So you drive around, you find the habitation unit. And right next to that, there's this enormous garage that is all yellow and black with a massive JCB logo on it. And then you have to fix some stuff. You have a repair gun, which I don't know how that works, but it's 2067, so it's the future. And then you go into
the same as the spanner in Battlefield.
Yeah. You just kind of shoot holes and it repairs the holes, and it's like, oh, okay, now my power generators are working. You go into the habitation unit after your power generator is working, and you just get this most beautiful notification on the screen, which is JCB has been notified of your survival. It's just, at that point you realize that JCB has actually launched their own Mars mission. This isn't like NASA or anything. This is a construction company has decided to colonize Mars.
Oh. Wow.
And it's just the most utterly bizarre thing. The actual game itself is just like fairly standard survival stuff. You go around, you have to collect resources, you have to build a small base kind of thing. Dust storms roll in, you have to go out and repair your stuff.
Are you always in the craft, the JCBs?
You can wander around outside on foot, and there are different JCBs to choose from kind of thing. But most of your time will be spent in the JCBs themselves, because getting around, Mars is, as you would imagine, enormous, so you've got to drive around. And it's just kind of hilarious to play as well, because Mars has like less gravity than Earth, so you're just bouncing around off things. Like, as soon as you hit any kind of jump, you just start tumbling over yourself in slow motion.
Getting my Mass Effect macro flashbacks.
Just all that kind of nonsense. And it's very silly. I wouldn't say it's very good either, to be honest.
Is it just a branding exercise? It looks like
so.
A playable commercial for JCB.
I feel like it was just like a Mars survival game that someone had to get a sponsorship for, and they just turned to the first person. It was like, all right, JCB, yeah, they'll give us some money if we slap their branding on everything.
Wow.
And it's just really
bizarre. They've got Razer branding as well. I'm watching the trailer right now. They just went into like a little landing pod, and there's a laptop there, and it's got the Razer logo on it. Wow, I bet he's going to drink like Coca-Cola. Cool, refreshing taste.
And snack on some Doritos. God.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure I'd recommend it as a game. I had a laugh while playing it, mostly at its expense.
Okay.
So, I if you're interested in these kind of weird curios on the Switch, I believe it's on Steam Early Access as well. How it's got a full launch on Switch when it's not out of Early Access on Steam, I'll never know.
But, wow.
Yeah, but there you go. JCB Pioneer Mars. If you want to laugh at a game, that would be my recommendation of the week.
Cool. Okay, that really is it for this week then. I hope you have had a nice holiday, as I mentioned before, and will continue to have a nice time in 2019. We'll be here throughout all of it as per, so keep your feeds tuned to this channel, and we will catch you next week for more information about the games. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.